Pacey's back, and Alexander just wants to be with Pacey, and Joey's like a monster. She's like, how dare you try to make my nephew happy and make me happy and do all these good things for me?
He's like, I went shopping. She's like, well, I did too. What do you want, a medal?
Oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom.
Back to you, Bob. Accept your perfect life, Dawson. It's reality.
Cleanup continues to
982. Back to you, Bob.
Hello, and welcome to Back to You, Bob, at Dawson's Creek Podcast. We're your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 410, Self-Reliance, which originally aired on December 20th, 2000, which is interesting to note because the last episode aired on November 29th, and then the next episode airs on January 10th. So this was very much so kind of like a little standalone episode.
I wonder why they would do that to us. Why would they do that to us? Such a cliffhanger that they left us with the last time. Gretchen and Dawson's mooch.
That's what I was going to say. And then this episode ends in a little bit of a cliffhanger as well. So they're just teasing us.
We'll get into it, but it picks up the morning after episode 409.
Sure does.
And I love when shows did that. Well, what's the Dawson's drink for episode 410, Self-Reliance?
The Dawson's drink is the Allies cocktail. It is dry vermouth, dry gin, and cumin liqueur. It's basically a martini. It's supposed to be like a little herbaceous or like spicy with these cumin liqueur, but not doing that. Nobody has time for that. What am I infusing liquor? No.
We're not drunk baker.
We are not drunk baker. Could never be.
Well, I'm going to dive in to the recap.
Do it.
Episode 410, Self-Reliance, opens up with Jack and Dawson in his dark room, and they're developing some pictures, talking about Dawson's kiss with Gretchen the night before. Jack says that Gretchen was his childhood crush, so this is a big deal, but Dawson's playing it off like it isn't, and says that Gretchen is his friend now, and he'd really like to keep it that way. They're interrupted by Gretchen, who's come over under the ruse of helping clean up. But really, she wants to get a temperature check on the night before and the kiss. Dawson blows it off, maintains it's not a big deal. It was just a holiday mistletoe kiss. And we could see that Gretchen is a little bummed to hear this. So Pacey, meanwhile, wants to talk to Joey about the kiss too, but she plays it off, saying she's too busy to even think about it. She's really overwhelmed because Bessie's going away for a few days. She needs to watch Alexander and study and take care of the B&B. And Joey ends up kicking Pacey out playfully because he wasn't really helping her that much with Alexander. But there's definitely an underlying vibe that Joey is bothered by something and does not want Pacey around right now. After she kicks him out, a family shows up at the B&B and Joey is swamped. She ends up bombing her English test the next day. Pacey, meanwhile, talks to Gretchen about what she was thinking kissing Dawson at the Christmas party. Gretchen insists it was just a kiss and it's really not that big of a deal. She doesn't understand why everyone in his generation has to make such a big deal out of a kiss. Haven't they ever heard of spin the bottle? They both agree that Joey is lying about being too busy to think about it, though. So Pacey shows up to help Joey and she says she's so tired of doing everything by herself. She's upset and overwhelmed and he says he can't help her if she doesn't tell him the truth. What's really bothering her is the kiss between Dawson and Gretchen. She denies it at first and they fight, but later when things calm down, she admits that the kiss did bother her, but she just doesn't know why. Pacey says that's totally normal, but she needs to be honest about it. He does not want Gretchen and Dawson's kiss to be like everything else they don't talk about, everything else that they brush under the rug, like their future. Joey says she thinks about the future all the time, and she sees Pacey in it. When she's around Dawson, she becomes 15 again, and it's all about the past. When she's with Pacey, she can grow up. Pacey urges Joey to talk to Dawson, and she does. She goes to Dawson's room and tells him that before the English test, when he asked if she was okay and she said she was lying. She's been really overwhelmed with everything, with Bessie being out of town and Alexander and the B&B in school, and she totally bombed the test. Dawson gives Joey her Christmas present, which is a photograph he took of her and Pacey at the Christmas party, and she's really overwhelmed by it, like moved to tears by how beautiful it is. And Dawson agrees. He says it is beautiful. She brings up the kiss with Gretchen, and he swears it was just a mistletoe kiss. He doesn't want to ruin his friendship with Gretchen like he did theirs. She tells Dawson that people can stay friends even if the romance doesn't work out. I mean, look at them. They're on their way to forgiveness. She tells Dawson that Gretchen would be lucky to have him. So Pacey, meanwhile, goes to Joey's English teacher and argues her case to try to get her a retake. The teacher says no, but he applauds Pacey's efforts. The teacher tells Joey later that she got a C-, and he also tells her about Pacey's plea. He says that he has to give a makeup test to another student and offers her the chance to do the same, but she will start with a half a letter grade deduction. She's just happy for the opportunity. They also talk about the book that the test is on. It's about a character who needs to learn to rely on the help of others and have a support system. And the teacher drives home to Joey that he has a feeling she could use the same. So Pacey and Joey end up making up while they babysit Alexander, and he helps quiz her and have her prep for the test. Jack and Jen, meanwhile, head to the city to go to a gay cafe where Jack is immediately recognized by a guy named Toby as the gay quarterback from the news last year. Jack, off the bat, doesn't feel like he fits in here. He's the only person without piercings. He's the only person who doesn't say gay every other word. But Jen urges him to keep an open mind, because right now his social circle only consists of her, Dawson, and Grams. Toby and Jack immediately clash. Toby judges Jack for his lack of passion for gay rights and protesting. Jack tells the group at the coffee house about how he lost his job as a soccer coach because he was gay. Toby takes issue with the fact that Jack didn't protest or try to use that situation to raise awareness. Back at school, Jen's trying to get Jack to go to the coffee house again, but he refuses, citing his dislike for Toby. Jack thinks it's unnatural for people who have the same sexual orientation to feel like they should be friends when they have nothing else in common. But Jen says she's going to go without him, but she ends up emotionally blackmailing him into coming. And they all go bowling, where Jen referees things between Toby and Jack. But the two guys end up having it out over how Jack thinks that Toby doesn't think he's gay enough, and how Toby thinks Jack has it easy since he's a jock and he's popular and good looking. Jack tells Toby that he knows nothing about him and his life is anything but easy. When they run into each other in Capeside, where Toby's hanging flyers, Toby apologizes for judging Jack by his looks. So Mr. Brooks, meanwhile, who has agreed to do Dawson's documentary last episode, and they're doing the filming now, and Mr. Brooks is telling his stories, and they're really bonding. Dawson's conducting these interviews where he learns so much more about Mr. Brooks, his career, and Mr. Brooks's insights into the industry and just storytelling in general. But we see that Mr. Brooks has some memory issues and some mix-ups, and he gets really frustrated with himself when he can't remember everything clearly. So Dawson ends up going back the next day or a few days later, and he runs into Mr. Brooks's nurse, which is a surprise to Dawson. And she tells him that Dawson's little documentary has really been wearing Mr. Brooks out and wearing down his health. Dawson immediately wants to pull the plug on the project because he doesn't want to do anything to hurt Mr. Brooks. But Mr. Brooks says he wants to keep going, saying he doesn't know how long he has and that it'll be nice to have something for people to remember him by. He tells the story about how he met his wife in Las Vegas and they both decided to go to LA together. This story inspires Dawson to tell Gretchen that he does have feelings for her. Before she can respond, they're interrupted by the Christmas tree lighting, which they watch together. And that is episode 410, Self-Reliance.
So much angst.
Yeah, this is a good little angsty. We're getting back to the angst.
Back to our roots.
Yeah, kissing, drama. Who wrote episode 410, Self-Reliance?
This episode was written by Gina Fattori. She was last with us on episode 404, Future Tense. And as we know, she was first with us on episode 305, Indian Summer, with Tom Kapanos.
Who directed episode 410?
This episode was directed by David Petrarca. This is his first episode with us, and he has a really great career, and it's still very much so active. Highlights on the WB front are Gilmore Girls, Felicity, Jack and Bobby, Everwood, Summerland. On the HBO front, he's done episodes of Hung, Big Love, Boardwalk Empire, Game of Thrones, True Blood. On the streamers front, he's done episodes of Jessica Jones, Marco Polo, Warrior, The Politician, Jack Ryan. And most recently, he directed two episodes of the Apple TV Plus series Before, which is with Billy Crystal. I had never even heard of this show, but it looks interesting. I might have to go back and watch it.
I've never heard of that either.
Yeah. I didn't even know Billy Crystal was on Apple TV Plus.
I didn't either. Wow.
Yeah. So David will be with us for 8 episodes across the remainder of the series. So this is not the last time we'll see him. And I think it was a good episode. I think he did a good job. Felt very cohesive. Felt like it's part of the show.
Yeah. I think he did a good job getting a lot of emotional performances out of the cast. There were some tough moments there. Emotional moments. When Joey sees the picture of her and Pacey, for one, you know, that wasn't an easy performance.
No.
He knew how to get in there.
Sure did.
What about guest cast shout out?
I'm going to give the guest cast shout out to David Monahan. This episode, he's playing Toby. He is a writer, a producer, an actor. He has 34 acting credits from 1999 to 2017. So this is early on in his career. He, among other things, had episodes of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Angel, Crossing Jordan, Dexter, Political Animals, Bones, and Big Little Lies. He shifted in 2017 to writing and producing. He has written episodes of Liv and Maddie, Insatiable, Life in Pieces, and Ginny and Georgia. And he's still writing today.
Is he writing on Ginny and Georgia right now?
Yeah.
Ginny and Georgia.
He is.
Wow.
He is. So he made that transition.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And he'll be with us for 7 episodes. So buckle in for Toby.
You said 7.
I said 7.
Interesting.
It's a rocky start. I'm going to be honest with you. Toby is not my favorite character.
Yes. Nothing to do with the performance, but Toby is a lot.
Yeah.
Toby's a lot.
Toby's a lot, and he's meant to be. He's meant to be a lot. So he pulled it off wonderfully.
And you do not come for Jackers.
You do not, especially season 4 Jackers. We know how I feel about him.
If you mess with Jackers, you mess with me.
You're going to have to get through us.
There's only one song, Music Moment.
It is Don't Need a Reason by Beth Orton.
I don't need no reasons. I don't need no reasons to do nothing. It played during the montage of Pacey helping Joey study while she was babysitting Alexander, and Gretchen and Dawson walking along Main Street during the Christmas tree lighting.
It's cute.
Yeah. Did you have a pass versus prez?
I have 2 things. It struck me this time around that I think Jen's being a bad friend to Jack in this episode.
Interesting.
Toby's being very rude and she's not standing up for him. And she's like actively trying to get Jack to engage with Toby in a way that felt right to me, or not like in line with the way Jen usually is. I'm trying to figure out why she felt so strongly about them being a part of this group. I don't know. It's just something that struck me. Second, why is Jen wearing a wig in this episode?
Is it a wig?
I think it's a wig. She's wearing those like headbands and the way the hair moves is very unnatural. I'm 90% sure it's a wig.
Wow.
I was trying to figure out if she was shooting something else at this time, another movie, like maybe she had to change her hair for some reason. I couldn't figure it out.
I don't know, because Dick was before this.
And her hair was kind of the same in Dick as it is as Jen, right?
As Jen, yeah. That's why I don't know. What could she have been filming?
I don't know.
She was in If These Walls Could Talk, but I don't know when that was. I think they had to film most things during hiatus.
She had multiple features at this time, but I just, yeah, it didn't make sense to me. And I'll have to pay attention to if she has a wig next episode, because she didn't last episode. So I don't know. It just struck me. We'll have to keep an eye on it. Report back.
For the loyalty Jen thing, I think Jack and Jen show their loyalty in like a strange way for best friends. They're always trying to push the other one to do what the other doesn't want to do. Like they're always pushing each other outside of the comfort zone.
Yeah. To grow.
Yeah. Like challenge each other. I just think she's like, look, this guy needs a gay friend.
But there's other choices.
Yeah. And I guess the main thing is like, you know, Jen knows that what Toby's saying is like inaccurate. So maybe she just thinks once these two get to know each other.
And Jen and Toby have similar sensibilities. So maybe she's like, oh, he's not all that bad. I don't know.
Yeah.
What about you? Do you have one?
I didn't have any past versus presence, really, but I remember being Jack in this episode. Like, I remember going to, like, you know, LGBT, because it was just LGBT then, stuff, like, on campus, and just being like, these people are not my people. Like, mm-hmm. It's weird. Like, what's wrong with me? Should I feel more, you know, at home with these people? What's wrong with me? I definitely remember when he was like, it's too gay. They talk about gay all the time. Like, gay is every other word out of their mouths. Like, that was me. I was just like, ugh. Because you're still at the stage where you're, like, not super comfortable with it. Like, you're comfortable. You're like, you know, you're out, you know. The word can still, like, make you uncomfortable or send, like, a shiver down your spine a little bit.
There's also, like, a group of people. I feel like for every cause or every type of person, there's always this group that's, like, really pushing it, you know, where it's like,
yeah.
Look. I believe in the cause and I will do everything I can to support it, but I don't need to be like in your face. Like,
yes. And I'm not a cause person. I'm not like a big protest, like, because I just think people are going to think you're not going to change anyone's mind. So that was always a thing too. Like, I just related to Jack a lot in this episode, but I related to him then. So it wasn't really a past versus present thing.
Sure, sure.
I guess, I mean, we've talked about it before, but I really did not remember Pacey and Joey having this many fights.
So many.
I really thought season 4 was like their happy season.
They have a ton of fights. They do a really good job of resolving the fights, it feels like. Mm-hmm. Like, they have a lot of conversations. It does feel like they grow as a couple, but they have a lot of fights.
They have a lot of fights, and I don't remember being like this. I know their big fight that comes.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that one. But yeah, I really remember them being much happier. But happiness is boring. Who wants to watch that?
Nobody's happy all the time.
Do we dive in?
Let's dive in. We start with this episode of Jack and Dawson. And we said it before, and we actually said it most recently in episode 404, which was the last episode that Gina wrote. So maybe it's a Gina thing. But I love Jack and Dawson scenes where they're actually talking about real stuff, you know, not just like in passing or, I don't know, just like surface level things. It's so good.
They're very believable.
They are. Yeah. They're very believable friends.
Yeah. They're a believable friendship because with the Pacey Dawson friendship, I buy it, but you almost buy it because like they were childhood friends.
The history. Yeah.
Right. And they really wouldn't be friends now, I don't think. But Jack and Dawson are, it's so funny saying Jack Dawson, like Titanic.
Yeah.
Jack and Dawson, they make sense. Like they're both sensitive. They're both like, they're like deep and emotional, and they're not like, like Pacey's super like girl crazy, and you know, Jen is not boy crazy, but like life experience wise, moral wise, I don't know, like Jack and Dawson make sense.
They align. So
they're really cute.
And Jack is pushing Dawson on like, let's talk about the kiss. Like, what does it mean? Where are you at? Like, you like her. So why don't you tell her you like her? And Dawson says, was she once the unapproachable bikini clad object of my pre-adolescent obsession? Yes. Ugh.
What a weirdo.
Yeah. His old Dawson is showing in this scene.
What a little freak. But then he and Gretchen are both just like, look, we're cool. It's just a kiss. We're adults.
This reminded me of last episode. You were talking about how you and your friend were in AP math or whatever. And were like, oh, I mean, if you wanted to drop out, then I would. But like, I don't want to drop out. This conversation is that like, no, I mean, you think something's happening, but like nothing's happening. And he's like, no, I don't think anything's happening. Do you think something's happening? They're like both taking the temperature.
I know. It would be really fun to like kiss your high school crush. Guys, I didn't really have a childhood crush, but like to kiss your crush,
totally,
that'd be so, I feel like it changes everything,
opens up a whole new world. Anything could happen.
Anything can happen. Natasha Bedingfield, is that her?
no. It's
we saw her. Ellie Goulding, Natasha Bedingfield, tomato tomato. Well, everyone's cool. Joey's cool. No one wants to talk about it.
No one needs to talk about it. Okay.
And we say it all the time. Bessie was in one scene and they got her out of here. They paid Nina Repeta that fee just to say one line and get out, creating the illusion. Bodie off camera, the illusion of Bodie driving away, but they didn't show him. So they saved money there.
And we love that.
And Pacey wants to talk about this. And Joey's like, Pacey, I haven't even thought about your sister and my ex-boyfriend kissing. I have too much to do. I have an English test. I haven't even gotten through Thoreau. Then there's Frost and Keats. I have Alexander. I have a B&B to run. My dad's in jail. My mom's dead.
Hasn't even crossed my mind. How could I ever think about Dawson and Gretchen with all of the things happening in my life?
I don't even think about the fact that they kissed like four times under the mistletoe and each kiss was escalating in passion and intimacy. It's not like it kept me up last night. But anyway, Joey's cool.
We're all cool. Everybody's cool.
Jen and Jack go to this coffee shop in Boston where it's like Jack calls it like a gay coffee clatch. And it's basically just like an LGBTQ meeting for people to share stories and literature, really whatever they want.
And then they, if needed, protest a little bit, hang signs, they organize, they get out on the streets. Toby's insufferable. Toby has a very annoying glasses to me. I'm annoyed by them. He's wearing dog tags. I'm just not into it. He's also a close talker. He gets very close to Jack when he's speaking to him. He's an intense guy. I'm not into it.
He's really pretentious. He comes after Jack immediately. You're the gay football player. Like, you know, you're a jock. You haven't had it as hard as me.
Jack's like, I don't really like labels like that. And he's like, which label? Gay or football player?
Yeah. Comes on strong.
He does. Love that Jack and Jen are drinking coffee. That's canon. They love coffee.
They love coffee. And this was where you thought maybe Jen had a wig because she has her...
Yeah, this scene and the bowling scene. She's wearing like a handkerchief on her head. If you watch the way the hair moves, I don't know. Everybody let me know what you think. I think she's wearing a wig.
I know. It is giving like Lucy and Ethel like in the factory.
I just think that they wouldn't have put... She is wearing some sort of handkerchief or headband in every scene. And I feel like it's just a way to distract us from the fact that she's wearing a wig.
Maybe. Or maybe she wants to look more like a lesbian.
Maybe. She wants to fit in.
It could be. I don't know.
I hate Toby. I hate him. Jack is talking and Toby's addressing the group and he's like, maybe some of our new folks would like to talk. How about you? And Jack starts to talk and he goes, on your feet. Okay, Toby. Like, come on, man.
Toby doesn't bring me joy.
No. And then when Jack's done talking, he goes, you can sit down now.
It's interesting because you and I had this debate about whether Jack was fired because he was gay or because he really, you know, the sexism of it or the homophobia of it. Mm-hmm. And you thought it was the homophobia and I thought it was the sexism. And they're kind of debating this because he's like, you got fired because you were gay. And Jack's like, well, not necessarily, you know, like it didn't help. But so we're basically Toby and Jack. You're Toby.
Oh, no. I hate myself.
I'm Jack. But Toby is cute.
Yeah.
The canvas is cute, but like the cost, the wardrobe and the... He basically is just not impressed with Jack's... Jack has an aversion to protesting and drawing like attention to himself. And Toby thinks that Jack missed a really good opportunity to raise awareness.
Jack was like, look, I wasn't thinking about standing up for myself. I was thinking about the kids, which, you know, is valid from Jack's perspective.
But here's what I don't get. So then they talk about how the lesbians here were kicked out of the bowling alley for kissing. And then he says that they're going to go to the bowling alley later. But are they going to protest? Because they're there bowling. So they're like giving them business.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not like they're
or
all...
Or were they all just going to like kiss
yeah.
or...
Because he says that the bowling alley's stance was that they don't like PDA of any kind. It wasn't because they were lesbians. It's because they don't like anyone kissing.
I kept waiting for like them to stage like a same-sex kiss or yeah.
Or a hetero kiss. And then when they don't get kicked out, be like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was waiting for something. And Joey's in a place with Pacey where I live in this place sometimes. Everything he does is going to drive her nuts. Like, she just needs him gone.
Anyone who's in a couple feels that way sometimes.
No, I wasn't meaning about like a couple, really. I was just meaning about like, there was this girl I worked with.
Oh, people.
Everything she did. She walked into a room and I didn't even like the way she walked into a room. I'd be like, oh.
Just kidding. I love my partner all the time. He never drives me crazy is what I meant to say. Yeah, no, I've definitely been in that situation.
The thing is, I feel like I am a good communicator in relationships, but I'm like, am I a good communicator because of like reality TV and TV shows like this? Like, I don't know, I may be.
Yeah, I think it's much more demonstrated to us than it was to our parents' generation.
I love to talk about myself. Oh, I started therapy. That's worth noting.
Huge milestone.
Love it. The 45 minutes just like that. I'm like, should we do it 2 a week? Because this isn't enough time for me to talk.
Can we do an hour and a half?
Yeah.
It's great.
It's great. It's great. I hate when he asks me questions, though, because I feel like I don't know what the right answer is.
You're like, I'm not acing therapy. Tell me what you want me to say.
Yeah. Like I answer with like, you know, my inflection going up at the end. Like, is that right? I don't know. I know he wants me to say something or get somewhere. So I'm just like, just tell me where you want me to get. And then I'll tell you if that's what I think. Do you know what I mean? He's trying to lead me somewhere, but I would rather him just kind of say it. Anyway, therapy's amazing. Sometimes it's not amazing. Some days I'm like, that was a flop.
My therapist likes to do the thing where he doesn't say anything so that I keep talking and I'll think I'm done. And then he's just kind of looking at me. And I'm like, so obviously you think I have more, I should be digging deeper on this, but I just don't know what I'm supposed to say.
I was having such, like, I really like him. I like my therapist. I'm like, he's cute. I could talk to him. Look in those eyes. I could tell him anything. And then he referenced a Bobby Knight documentary. And I'm like, is he straight? Bobby Knight, like the coach, the sports coach man?
Oh.
And I'm like, have I been telling my feelings to a straight man?
Oh, no.
What is this horror? What fresh hell is this?
How could he ever understand my emotions?
I don't know if he's gay or straight. Now that's causing me anxiety.
You can't ask him.
I could lead him there.
Just start. He's asking you questions. You're asking him questions.
Anyway, how did we get on that? Oh, Joey needs therapy. Yeah. She kicks Pacey out of that house so fast.
You know who doesn't need therapy? Gretchen. Gretchen is full of advice. She never gets rattled. She's like...
I was going to say Alexander. Not yet, but he will.
Oh, God. No, he should start now, actually. He's got...
Oh, little Alexander. He's just like sitting by the stove. He looks so sad when she kicks Pacey out.
He is so cute.
Cute. Let Alexander have joy.
He's banging on the pots and pans. I love him. I think he's so adorable. And you know who he loves? Pacey. You can tell.
He loves Pacey.
And Joey's like, no fun. Get out. I'd rather him sit here and do absolutely nothing.
Okay, so I'm sorry. You were talking about Gretchen.
Anyway, Gretchen doesn't need therapy. Pacey comes to her and is like, hey, what about Dawson, and zero, there's not, it's not even a blip in the radar. Her heartbeat didn't even go up one beat per minute. She is calm, cool, collected. And she's like, listen, Pacey, this is what you should do about Joey. And she just lays out like really pretty decent advice. She's just always, you know, cool, calm, collected.
You're preaching to the choir. You don't have to sell me on Gretchen Witter. I always want to say Gretchen Wieners. Gretchen is everything.
Pretty nuts. Pretty nuts.
Pacey and Gretchen do have an inflatable chair. Do you remember those? Like a blow-up chair?
They did. I didn't notice.
Yes. And I had one from like Spencer's or wherever.
Yeah.
Mine broke out like literally like a week. Like it just popped.
There's a new American Girl doll who's like a 90s, early 2000s. Oh, yes. And one of the accessories you can buy is a blow-up chair.
God.
We're history now.
We are history. But I would buy that doll. Do you watch Love on the Spectrum?
Yeah.
Did you watch this season with Madison?
No, not yet.
She is her thing is like American Girl dolls.
Nice.
She loves them. Her favorite's Madison, because that's her name. But she's obsessed with him.
Did you see Tanner on Kelly Clarkson, and his favorite actor ever is Jack Black, and they bring out Jack Black and he's like, oh my God, Jack Black, I just love you so much. I just love you so much. Oh my God, Jack Black, I just love you so much. Oh my God, Jack Black. Oh my God, Mr. Jack Black, you're just the very best. And he's like, you know, Tanner's got energy.
So cute. The season was really good.
I'm gonna watch it.
Really good. Well, Joey's about to take this English test. I love that they're taking the English test through the little blue books, because we had the little blue books.
Yep.
Dawson asks if she's okay, and she says yes.
He's like, I've never seen Joey Potter with cliff notes before. She's like, it's fine. It's supplemental. Leave me alone. Don't look at me.
She hasn't slept. I want to know, did they say where Bessie and Bodhi were going?
Don't know.
Why couldn't they bring Alexander?
They don't own the car seat.
I just don't understand why they would do this to poor Joey and have her run the B&B.
It's a lot.
You know, it would have been cool if we met like Joey's like cousins, or like more family over the course. Like if she had like a trashy cousin come once. or not trashy, just anything. Just like more family.
Bessie just says, bye. That's it.
That's her only line. I love that. Cash those checks, Nina. And well, Jen's back in another bonnet thing.
That's what I'm telling you. Jen's never wore a headband in her life. And she has three different ones on in this episode.
I smell a rat. So basically, Jen wants to go bowling and Jack is like, no, just because I'm gay and these people are gay doesn't mean we should be friends. We have nothing else in common.
Jack's like, he likes you, though. And Jen's like, he likes my more diva-like qualities. Yeah, she's pushing hard. She's trying to convince him to come bowling.
You know what's wild? Like this whole Jack's the only gay person in a small town thing was like very believable for the late 90s, early 2000s, right? Because small towns, like, you know, people were usually gay until they went to college. But like now, I feel like that's not the case. Like you could at least find a bunch or a small bunch of gay people in your town.
And it wasn't the case then. It's just people weren't out.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, people would wait till college.
Yeah, but I feel like there were a handful of people where it was like, they weren't out until college, but we were all like, we know.
I know. Do you want to hear something wild? My dad ran into my first kiss yesterday at the UPS store. It was a girl. It was a girl.
Did you tell him?
No. Like she was one of my best friends. She was the Joey to my Dawson.
Oh my gosh. Should you call her?
Do you think every Dawson has a Joey and every Joey has a Dawson? I hope so. For their sake. That was a season 3 quote by Joey.
I understand.
Well, anyway, yeah, that happened.
Dawson is up Mr. Brooks's nose with this camera. He's like pushing in. He's gone handheld. He's gone rogue. And he's like, are there really only 6 stories? And Mr. Brooks says, 3.
Boy gets girl, boy loses girl, boy kisses girl.
Guy loves girl, guy gets girl, guy loses girl. Mr. Brooks and Dawson are singularly minded. They're like, look, love is the only thing that exists. We're both heartbroken.
Mr. Brooks gets frustrated because he like remembers something wrong. The first sign that there's some memory problems going on with Mr. Brooks.
That's something that's really been bothering me. I'm on medicine right now that is making me forgetful. And it's like a nightmare when you're mid-sentence and you can't think of a word, or when somebody's like, oh, you know that thing that we talked about yesterday? And I'm like, beats me. No memory of it. So I relate. I relate, Mr. Brooke.
I know. Do you know what I got? I got this lion's mane mushroom off Amazon. I haven't started it yet, but do we know anything about that?
I don't know. People swear by that stuff.
Well, I think I'm going to try it because I am the same. My memory's just
fresh.
But I was listening to a podcast on stress and anxiety, and it's like the gist of the podcast was multitasking is bad because when you multitask, you aren't giving 100% and you're not fully into something. So you can't give it your all. It doesn't stick with you. You forget it. The gist was like there were a few years there where we were told multitasking is a skill that you should have and that you need, and it's a positive skill. But now people are saying maybe multitasking is not a good thing. They're pushing more singularly tasked lifestyles, like focus on one thing for an hour, take a 15-minute break, focus on the next thing for 45 minutes, you know? So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, our minds are mush. Everything's terrible. Our phones are killing us. And that's that.
I just Googled, how do I fix my dog's waddle?
Speaking of multitasking.
My dog's waddle is just getting too loose. The juice is loose. Pacey's back and Alexander just wants to be with Pacey. And Joey's like a monster. She's like, get out of here. How dare you try to make my nephew happy and make me happy and do all these good things for me?
He's like, I went shopping. She's like, well, I did too. What do you want, a medal?
I think what's really triggering her is his shirt because it's the ugliest effing shirt I've ever seen.
It's not great. It's not great. But so Pacey's taking Gretchen's advice here and he's trying to be a good boyfriend, a supportive boyfriend, and Joey's not having it. So then he also takes Gretchen's advice and says, look, I know what you're upset about. It's Dawson, which I think is a kind of a big swing and a weird way to approach it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's tough. Like he knows that Dawson is an underlying kind of murmur of why she's upset, but also she is very exhausted and she is very overwhelmed. So it's like, it's tricky. So interesting approach.
Yeah, you're the perfect boyfriend. What do you want, the perfect boyfriend award? You're so much better than Dawson. And it is like, well, good lord, she needs Nardal.
She does.
Get Andy McPhee on the horn and get that Nardal.
She really does.
Spinning out.
She's spinning out. She's on the verge of tears at all times. She's having a tough go.
And he's just like, look, we need to talk about it because there's certain things that we don't talk about and this cannot be one of them. And she's like, what is other stuff that we don't talk about? And he's like, the future, like, you know, you're going to go away to college. I'm going to stay here. What are we going to do? And she's like, I think about the future all the time. I see you in it. I don't see Dawson in it. He's my past. You're my future. But he's like, regardless, you need to talk to Dawson about this.
And then call me. The other adorable thing in this episode that he does, he picks up Alexander, and obviously the actor baby Alexander has the hiccups, and Josh takes a moment and he's like, oh, you have the hiccups. So cute. Did you notice that?
Yeah. Josh is the best.
Adore.
At the bowling alley, Jack walks in his letter jacket. Is that Letterman jacket, right?
Letterman. Yeah.
It feels like he's baiting.
Yeah. Goading them a little bit.
That was shady.
He knows exactly what he's doing.
He wants a fight. He's looking for a fight. And then Jen's like, this is the pink ball. Toby, this is yours.
Yeah. Toby's like, this is a joke, right? Like he for real thinks that it's a joke that Jack's wearing that jacket. And Jen's like, no, that's really his jacket. No, for real.
I think it's hot.
Look, you know how I feel.
About Jack. Yeah, you love Jack.
Yeah, so Mr. Brooks is forgetting everything.
Relatable content. Relatable content. Who knew we'd be relating to Mr. Brooks?
Mr. Brooks is us. We are Mr. Brooks.
Hates people. Hates the we love the past. Lives in the past. Likes his alone time. Crotchety. Loves a routine.
Loves a stiff drink. Water and ice with bourbon. Hold the water and ice.
Can't keep his eyes open.
Amen.
Falls asleep in the chair.
Also, Dawson covers him in a blanket when he falls asleep in the chair. And I just was envisioning Mr. Brooks waking up while he was doing that and being like, what the hell are you doing, son?
God, bowling alleys. Am I right? What a time.
Okay, real quick. He also says, Dawson says, to the bourbon idea. Dawson says, I don't think that's such a good idea. And Mr. Brooks says, I don't give a tinker's damn about your opinion. Oh, I really liked that.
So funny.
Love a bowling alley.
Love a bowling alley. Just cosmic bowling. God, made me feel alive.
Amen.
To quote Joey Potter, season 3.
I never really thought about how gross it is until COVID, but like, COVID ruined a lot of stuff. I mean, I'm not against it. I'll still go bowling. But at the time I was like, ooh, germs are everywhere.
You put your fingers in those little holes and you throw that ball down that lane. Just don't eat anything. All right. So Joey is in Dawson's room and we hear the theme that can make me cry on command.
It's a really nice scene.
Yeah. He gives her the Christmas gift.
She goes, she brings him in order to start
have
the conversation.
Excuse. Right, right.
Yeah. She brings him the Counting Crows CDs that he gave her a few episodes ago. And he's like, those are yours. And she's like, I know. I just thought maybe we could pass them back and forth whenever we had something to talk about. It's funny. But yeah, she's like, look, I lied to you earlier. You asked me if I was okay and I wasn't. I'm overwhelmed and things are falling apart a little bit.
I feel like I'm only going to mention this because I feel like it comes into play somewhere. When Jack went through Dawson's window during Unusual Suspects, he said it's hard getting up there without a ladder.
You're right.
So he had to like climb the trellis. So and Joey's been going through the door. So I think we don't know how she got in, but I think she went through the door.
Well, she does say your mom said you'd be home soon. So she did talk to Gail
on her way up. So I think that comes into play because I think that when the ladder comes back, I think there's some like significance to that. But I'm only pointing that out as like a tracking. We should keep it in mind.
Copy that.
He gives her a Christmas present and it's a picture of her and Pacey at the Christmas party.
It's like a really beautiful picture. And Joey immediately has tears in her eyes and she says, it's beautiful. And he's like, yeah, I'm getting pretty good. And she's like, no, that's not what I meant. Like the gesture. She's really feeling this gesture. The gesture is beautiful to her and she's not wrong.
Doesn't he say like, I know what you meant or whatever? Like,
yeah.
He's really accepted that those two are together now.
Yeah.
It's a Christmas miracle.
It sure is.
Because it's been a slog to get here.
It's been a grind. But you know who helps? Gretchen. And that's what Joey says. The party was fun. You know, like, what about you and Gretchen? And he's like, oh, you saw that? And she's like, yeah, like, what's the deal? And he's like, we're friends. I don't think that 21-year-old sophisticated college girls really fall for high school seniors. So why ruin a perfectly good friendship? And Joey's like, she'd be lucky to have you, which mirrors what Pacey said last episode to her about college.
I know. I love that. And I love the frame that Dawson gives Joey because it's kind of like distressed.
Mm.
And I really feel like it fits in with the Potter. The Potter decor. I mean, it does. That could go in any room in the Potter B&B.
Next to the painted chair.
The painted chair. The couch on the front yard. This is just a nice, like, look. The year's over. Things are changing. We all have closure.
We're growing.
We're growing. We're evolving.
It's also the first conversation that they've had, I feel like, this season where Joey isn't trying to keep Dawson on the hook a little bit, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like she's been like a little flirty or like a little talking about her feelings in regards to him. Do you know what I mean?
She's been like trepidatious a little bit. It felt like they were laying it all out.
And they were both in a good place about it. And in the meantime, Pacey goes to talk to the English teacher and says, hypothetically, if someone were to have not done well on their test, is there a chance for them to take it again? And the teacher says, he or she. And he says, can we stick with they? And he says, to contribute to the further corruption of the English language spoken on the northern continent. And that's very funny under the lens of 2025.
I know. That should have been our past versus present. Because when the pronoun stuff started coming out, I didn't like it for that reason. I was just like, oh, grammatically, it's like going to screw everything up. But we've adapted.
We have. Turns out we can adapt. We don't have to be so rigid.
We can evolve. We can evolve like Dawson.
If Dawson can do it, anybody can.
But I love this English teacher. He's by far the best English teacher that we have seen at Cape Side High.
Yeah, he's great. And he validates Pacey. He's like, you know, you did a good job coming to me.
You're a good person.
Yeah.
You're failing everything. You're a moron. But deep down, you're a good person.
Pacey's really championing Joey in these last few episodes. It's really sweet.
Well, he better.
Yeah. She's his ticket out of here. He's following her. Toby comes to Capeside to hang flyers and he finds Jack on the street.
Who cares?
And he says, you're officially kicked out of the Alliance.
Who cares? I don't care about these.
Who cares? But also, why is he kicked out of the Alliance? Because Toby doesn't like him. Get out of here.
Because he plays football? Because he wears a jacket?
Yeah, because he wears a jacket. I've never seen Jack ride a bike before in his life, but he's taking a lock off the bike. He's about to ride it.
Who are you, Toby? You're judging Jack? You don't believe him? You don't believe that he rides bikes?
There's a nice F slur thrown out in this scene.
Oh, yeah. That was like, I gasped.
Clutch my pearls.
I clutched. He was saying how people called him that. You know, people like Jack called him slurs. Mr. Kasdan is going to give Joey another opportunity to take a makeup because someone else needs to take a makeup. He didn't want to make Joey the exception, but now that someone else needs to take it, he feels like he's not doing Joey a favor. He's just giving her the opportunity to kind of take advantage of another student's opportunity, I guess. But he's going to start her with a deduction.
Yeah, he's penalizing her half a letter grade.
Which is fair, because she got a C minus. So she's starting off with the A instead of an A plus or an A minus. But she's still going to probably do better than a C minus.
Definitely. And the teacher takes the book that she's reading and highlights a line and asks her to read it out loud. And then asks her what the most important part of that line was. And she's like, woods? And he's like, no, borrowed. People need community. You can lean on other people. It's a very weighty moment, I feel like.
We love Mr. Kasdan.
He's, you know, giving her insight and she hears it and she takes it. She takes it on board.
And he also tells her that Pacey came to him to plead her case.
She's touched.
I like that Pacey can save her, because I feel like if it was nowadays, you know, it would be like, I don't need to be saved by a man. But it's just a nice romantic, sweet gesture. It doesn't need to be like a, you know, genderized, weaponized thing. You just want to save people you care about. Gender doesn't matter. I don't see gender.
Gender is a construct. Mr. Brooks has a nurse that Dawson runs into when he comes over the next morning. And she's a chatty Cathy. She is spilling all of the beans.
Call her a clumsy waitress because she's spilling the tea.
Mr. Brooks is like, nurses can be fired, you know, when he comes out. We love a threat.
It's so funny how much she hates Dawson. Your little documentary is wearing him down.
And Dawson's like, you still want to do this? Or and he's like, yeah, I'm not dead yet.
Dawson pretty much assumes that it's over. Like, Dawson's ready to call it off, right? And Mr. Brooks is like, no, what are you doing?
Come on in. Son,
they're gonna need something to remember me by. Also, like, is Mr. Brooks my body type? I feel like he is.
He's also like 7 feet tall.
Is that my shape?
He's not your shape at all. He has a pot belly and stick legs.
You don't, are you saying I don't have stick legs? How dare you?
No, you have very strong legs.
I have thick stems. Mr. Brooks kind of reminds me of my landlord. It just hit me.
I like this scene with Mr. Brooks. He starts talking about his past, his girlfriend that he loved and lost, and he gets a little teary-eyed, and it's really nice to see a softer side of Mr. Brooks.
He tells the story of how the love of his life was a waitress in Las Vegas, and Dawson is like, oh, the girl from your movie. And he says, yes, you know, she always hated Vegas, and I think he says, like, when I got the call to go to Hollywood or whatever, I was with her, and she, like, you know, in Vegas fashion, rolled the dice and came with me and left her job, and the rest is history, kind of a thing. You know the rest, which inspires Dawson to, like, roll the dice. You gotta roll the dice sometimes.
And he does.
He goes to Gretchen.
Pacey comes to the B&B and says, where's Alexander? And Joey says, he's watching a video in Bessie's room. That is a baby, ma'am. What are you talking about? But she's very grateful to Pacey. She tells him that he tried to get the retest and he succeeded. And she starts to make out with him. And he's like, we've got bigger fish to fry. You're taking that test tomorrow? Let's study. And they do. They retrieve Alexander from Bessie's room and they go through some flashcards.
Dawson says to Gretchen, you know, it wasn't just a kiss. I'm into this. I'm nervous. I'm scared. And before she can answer, that Christmas tree lights up and we're kind of left with another cliffhanger.
We're left hanging.
Season 4 on these cliffhangers.
And it's a little 3 weeks before we get a new resolution.
I bet I was watching this episode over and over and over and over. And the last one in between those 3 weeks, because I would tape them on my VHS.
I believe it.
I color-coded my VHS tapes. Dawson's Creek was orange. Days of Our Lives was red. And Passions was green.
How many episodes could you keep of soap on a single tape?
It depended. Because I think I would only, during the year when I would record them, like with commercials, I would kind of tape over them after a while. But when I was home in the summer and I could like pause and record and cut the commercials out and cut the scenes out I didn't want, it depended.
For sure.
SLP, XLP, SP. Do you remember that?
Sure do.
I was like, who would ever pick SP?
Oh my God.
Well, what's our Dawson's drink for episode 411?
For episode 411, The Tao of Dawson, we will be drinking the Taotini.
Oh, wow.
It is mandarin vodka, raspberry vodka, Malibu, cranberry juice, and lime juice. Honestly, it might be delicious.
That's interesting.
It sounds summery.
Wait, you said raspberry, mandarin, Malibu. Interesting, because Malibu is like a coconutty, right?
Mm-hmm. So coconut, orange, raspberry, cranberry juice, and lime juice.
That's going to be wild.
Yeah, it's either going to be delicious or disgusting. We'll find out.
We will find out.
All right.
Well, see you then. See you there.
Bye.
Bye.